Welcome to the Coach's Edge podcast. Excited to get after it with you guys today, talking about our 5P dribbles. And this is simply basketball terminology that I use. I think as coaches, it's important for us to have specific terminology that we use with our players so that we can all be on the same page. This could be numbered cutting. This could be terms for certain actions. And maybe you get an idea of my 5 P's and you decide to change it and make it your own. That's totally fine with me. I just want to share with you some of the things that I picked up from different coaches and kind of figuring out what some things are named or might have multiple names. And I'm saying, you know what? I think, there's 5 main dribbles that we could say start with P that are pretty understandable and that can help our players as they continue to work on their game. So, if you have questions, I appreciate everybody that's reached out. We've had people email me about Coach's Edge. We've had people email the website, Coach's Edge. If you email coachesedge.coach, the website, and you haven't heard back from me, check your spam. I've had like 3 people recently ask about the membership. I've written you all back and I haven't heard anything in response. Sometimes those business emails get thrown to people's spam email addresses. So you can reach out to me directly. contact@kramerbasketball.com, and for sure I will get it, and maybe you'll be able to get that response back to me, because we've had people asking, hey, can you show me more about the membership? Happy to meet. Like, if you want to set up a Zoom call and I can show you some of the membership and see if we can be a good fit. I think part of a good fit with Coach's Edge is myself, honestly, and if you think we'd be I'd be a good person to be able to help you out and to be able to, maybe that's watch game film. That could be someone, like we had a meeting a couple days ago with a coach. We met for an hour because he's a coachesedge.coach member. If somebody else wanted to meet me for an hour, I'd charge him for that. He's part of Coach's Edge, and so that's something that I want to do, right? He's paying me for consulting. And so it's not just access to the website, but it's access to me. And so we found an hour. He's been an assistant coach. He's taken over a new program. And we're talking about trying to build some things. And so I'm more than happy to help you out if at all possible and see if we're a good fit with coachesedge.coach. So as we get into our P dribbles, these 5 dribbles that start with P, let's start stationary and then go on the move. So again, we're always talking about stance, low and wide, following the law, emphasis on the wide, right? Because you can get low but not be wide, but you can't get wider and not get lower. That's going to happen naturally. And so we really emphasize a good wide base. And I want you to be so wide in your stance that it's easy for you to push side to side, right? Side to side. And that's going to help us be able to play defense and offense, just good athletic positioning. So if we have that base about us, our first P dribble is a pound dribble, right? And we talk about high ball and hand time. High ball and hand time, that's how much time is the basketball in your hand in relation to the time that it's out of your hand. So you see people like wrist dribble, the ball is out of their hand the majority of the time. They'll kind of slap at the ball, and they really don't have good control with the basketball. Whereas if we have higher ball and hand time, we're pushing through shoulder, elbow, wrist, pushing down into the floor. We receive that basketball low. We soak the basketball up to the height that we want the basketball at, to shoot, to pass, to drive, to go, whatever, that, to change direction. That's high ball and hand time. You can think of even a crossover dribble for high ball and hand time. If you were to cross the ball over from right to left and your left hand was on the left side of your body and you waited for the ball to get to your hand, there's more time that the ball is not in one hand or the other. But if I cross that ball over with my right hand and I have a low pickup point, so my left hand is close to where that ball is going to hit the floor, now it's received it much, much earlier off the floor. And now I can take that ball with my left hand. Maybe it's a quick move to cross over again. Maybe it's bringing it up into my shot. Maybe it's pushing out into a pass or a drive. But because I've received that dribble low with that crossover, having a higher ball in hand time, that's going to make me a little more efficient and faster with the decisions that I make in the game. So even though it's a very basic pound dribble, we just want to concentrate on, let's get some hard dribbles in and have high ball and hand time. The second dribble that starts with P is a pocket dribble. And we easily transition from a pound to a pocket. And a pocket dribble is where we're starting to bring that basketball back, right? We're starting to get it into our pocket to shoot, to drive, to pass, to change direction. This could be a hesitation move. We bring that basketball up to our hip pocket. That's where we soak our hand, and our hand is essentially behind the ball. And if I were to dribble the ball in front of my body and I were to pocket the ball, that ball would go bounce in front of my body and then it would pocket back. So that basketball would actually change direction, almost like almost a little bit like a candy cane might look, right? Not all the way up and then back down, but it comes up and then it comes back slightly, right? And then it goes back down. Again, that's high ball in hand time. That ball is actually changing direction. And so that's our pocket dribble. Very, very effective. You see every good basketball player pocket dribbles, whether they do it naturally or they've been taught it. And that's something that we can start to teach even our younger players to do. Have high ball in hand time, pocket the dribble, and they can get more things accomplished. The third one is stationary. But again, all these dribbles, like the pounds, you can essentially do pounds stationary or on the move. Pocket dribbles, you can do some pounds, you can stationary and on the move. The pull dribble is something we can do stationary and on the move. But the pull dribble, if let's say I'm dribbling the ball in front of my body and someone is trying to swipe at the ball, right? I can dribble that ball in front of my body. I can pull and literally dribble that ball behind my body while I'm still facing forward, right? So my shoulder has turned. This is kind of hard to explain on audio, but I'm literally dribbling the ball behind my body. Chris Paul does this. Steph Curry does this. You see a lot of players that are a little more undersized do this. Steve Nash did this all the time. John Stockton, all right hand, back hip dribble behind the body. But being able to pull that dribble from front to back, and it could be from side to side, it could be from back to front, but being able to take that basketball, high ball in hand time, soak it up in our hands and truly place it into a different spot, we call those pulls, right? Or I call those pulls, other coaches might call those pulls. And so being able to really pull that dribble while it's in your hand, it's not like a V dribble. That ball, when you do a V dribble, is the thing that's really changing direction. When we use a pull dribble, my hand is using the ball to change direction. It's changing direction while the ball is in my hand, all right? I hope that explanation makes sense. So now we're at three. We have pocket, we have pound, we have pocket, and we have pull. The fourth one is a punch dribble. A lot of times that happens after a move, happens driving to the basket, and a punch dribble, we're punching that dribble into space. Our hand is again behind the ball, our elbow is behind the ball, and now we're going. So a lot of times we'll make that dribble like crossover. I'm getting into my first step, right? And I'm ready to boom, really, really hit the gas. I'm hitting the gas and I'm punching that dribble. I'm taking that basketball with me. I don't necessarily want to throw the ball out. That's our fifth P dribble, which is a push dribble or a speed dribble or a transition dribble on a fast break, where we're truly pushing that ball out in front of our body and chasing it. You could possibly do that like snaking a screen or splitting a screen where you'd push that basketball out in front and then chase it. That would be an example as well. A lot of times, especially for our, you know, not quite as advanced players or even our high school players, simply working on pushing that ball out in front. And that's where we might do some ball handling drills, emphasizing how few dribbles can you use to go from sideline to sideline, or getting an outlet pass at the three-point line and getting all the way down to the other basket for a layup, right? And I remember being in high school and our coach would put us on the baseline. He'd say, all right, you got three dribbles to score a layup on the other side. And then we would have to do that. And he'd say, you know what? He was a former college player, former college coach. So he's a Hall of Fame coach in the state of Michigan now. And Coach Gainford, he'd say, you got three dribbles to go the length of the court. And that would be like a conditioning drill we might do in the offseason was, three dribbles, score a layup, get your rebound. Three dribbles coming down, score your layup. We go right hand, we go left hand, we go alternating. So right hand until a left hand dribble to a right hand dribble and score your layup. And those are great conditioners, but also working on pushing that basketball out in front. So I hope I did a decent job explaining that. But if you were to think about what are some dribbles this offseason we want to work on with our players, are you covering those dribbles? if you covered those five dribbles, that'd be a pretty good start, right? That'd be a pretty good start to some of the ball handling that you would do with your players. And again, this is just the audio format. If you want the actual detailed video breakdown as well as the demonstrations of me walking you through it, that's on a membership, coachesedge.coach. I like doing this with the podcast because I can give you guys, if you're not a coachesedge.coach member, you still get some benefit, right? But it can also give you a peek at, like, if it's a little bit hard sometimes to explain on audio, this is something that would be an example of what coaches would receive in our membership, of like detailed stuff, you know. And the best compliment I get from coaches and from parents after they have someone that's trained with us or come to our camps is just calling me a teacher, you know. I don't want to be known as like this workout guy that, hey, you come in, you get a sweat going. Like, I want you to leave with a higher basketball IQ. I want you to leave with a better understanding of how to train on your own. Can I make you work hard? Can I get you to work hard? Can I motivate you? Can I hopefully, you know, get you to the point where you have a lot of self-discipline? Man, I hope I can do all those things. But I think it's truly my job in basketball training to leave people with a better understanding of the game. And the only way that I can do that is to always be trying to learn myself, to be a student myself. And that's one of the reasons I like the podcast, because I'm able to continue to share with you the things that I've learned along the way and the things that I continue to learn throughout this journey of trying to better myself as a basketball coach. So this was the first time trying to record on a new dashboard. And so I hope this audio is coming through smooth for you. We will find out very soon. Hit me up. Let me know if you like this. contact@kramerbasketball.com is my email. Questions about Coach's Edge, let me know. And man, it's a great time of year. We're getting into our March basketball clinics. I was gone for 5 days, running some clinics up in Michigan and Ohio. I'll be back up in Ohio in April. And then our next time up will be our June. We'll run some private camps, and then we'll do an open camp as well in Ohio. And yes, more stuff going down in South Carolina with our training and some clinics down here as well. So it's a good, exciting time, and I hope you guys are all enjoying March Madness, and have a happy Easter.